Welcome to Your Family Dog, a podcast dedicated to helping families love living with dogs. Here are your hosts, Julie Fudge-Smith and Colleen Pilar.
Hi, and welcome to Your Family Dog podcast. I'm Julie Fudge-Smith, and I'm here with Colleen Pilar. Hi, Colleen.
Hey, Julie.
This week, we're wrapping up Halloween. Last week, we talked about some aspects of Halloween and what you should look for as your dog being stressed. And this week, we're going to talk about helping your dog to enjoy the evening. Because we tend to think of Halloween as a night of fun, but it might not be so much fun for our dogs. What do you think, Colleen?
I think it is definitely a challenge, and we always want to be looking at, is this fun for the dog, which brings back a memory for me. So many years ago, when my children were little, I took them trick-or-treating. I think we had two ninjas and Buzz Lightyear that year, as I recall. And I was trick-or-treating through the neighborhood with my boys and my sister and her children. So six children, two adults, and everybody's having fun. Except me. So we were walking through the neighborhood, and the children would go to a house, and behind a storm door, I saw this Sheltie losing her mind. She was barking her head off, so stressed out about all this activity coming to her door, and her people were sitting on the front stoop with the front door wide open, so the Sheltie's looking through the storm door, and when she would bark, they'd smack the door and go, knock it off. And that had no effect whatsoever. She just kept barking. And I'm like, oh, she's so stressed. And then we would turn and go around the corner, and I see this boxer out trick-or-treating with their kids wearing a pumpkin costume. And the boxer is miserable, morose dog walking along in a pumpkin costume. So sad. And I'm looking and going, oh my gosh, that dog is so unhappy. Terrible. We go to another house, and there's the Labrador, and he's out just bouncing around the front yard, scaring the children. The children are like, I don't know if I should go up there. And they're going, oh, he's friendly. It's okay. So at each house, I am stressing out about the dogs and talking about, you know, well, we should just give that dog a Kong and put him away. That dog does not want to be in a costume. He wants to be at home. Don't they see how sad he is? Oh, my goodness. Put that dog on a leash. What is going on? To the point that the family declared that I was no longer allowed to go trick-or-treating. It was a family decree that I, from that year on, never, ever, ever was allowed to go trick-or-treating again. Now, I did get permission to sit on my front stoop and pass out candy, which meant that I could only stress out about the dogs who were being walked on Halloween, of which there were still too many. And I was still too worried about them. But I was not seeing dog after dog reacting to the doorbells and the knocking and the funny costumes and the strange movements and so many stressful events. And my poor family was just like, oh, she cannot stop being a dog trainer. And I cannot, because it hurts me to see a dog who's stressing out. And it hurts more to know that people are trying to be nice to their dog.
Right.
And but stressing in the process, their dog out.
Yeah, right. But in the process of being nice, they're actually being they're not serving their dog well. And in the end, not serving themselves well, because all they're doing is creating a more reactive dog.
Right. But in their hearts, they're like, oh, yeah, we're all together. It's fun.
And he's so cute in his pumpkin costume.
Oh, yeah. That poor boxer. So I got fired. But Halloween has been a touchy subject for me in the years since, because I'm always worried about, is the dog happy?
Right.
And that's the real key.
I agree. And, you know, I was thinking about a time when I took my daughters trick-or-treating, and they were with some friends, and they trick-or-treated in our neighborhood, and then they wanted to go over to another neighborhood where they knew a couple of their teachers were. So we said, okay, and thank goodness I left the dog at home. We went to the house, and the kids went up, and they knocked on the door, and they're looking around, and looked like a scarecrow sitting on the bench with a tray that had the candy in it. So they went, oh, okay. So my younger daughter, Emma, reached to get the candy when the pumpkin or the scarecrow moved, mm-hmm. right? And Emma screamed. I thought somebody had stabbed her. Threw her pumpkin full of candy into the air, It went scattering everywhere. She came flying down the sidewalk, like, Mama! Jumped on my arms, nearly knocked me over, and I was thinking to myself, oh my heavens, if the dog had been there, he would have lost it, because Emma completely lost it. There, things were flying, candy was going everywhere, she was sobbing, you know, everybody else was laughing, and I thought to myself, that would have been terrifying to have had my dog have to witness that and not know what was going on with his little girl. So that was one of the things where I thought to myself, thank goodness I decided not to take the dog, because I thought wisely that he'd had enough. Not because I was any kind of a great trainer, but simply because I thought, ah, he doesn't need to come to this one. And so I think that the problem is that so many unexpected things can happen on Halloween.
Absolutely.
Are just so out of the dog's normal range of experience that you can also really kind of scar the dog, especially if it's a young dog.
Yes.
One of the things we haven't talked about is single event learning. And a lot of that can happen on Halloween night. And what I mean by single event learning is something that happens at a particular time that will scar a dog and make them very reactive or fearful or stressed about that particular thing from now until eternity. And I was thinking about, like, our dog Hudson, when he was 5 months old, a gate fell down behind him. Didn't touch him or anything else, but startled him to death because it clambered to the floor. Till the day he died, gates were very scary things that attack golden retrievers, and we all need to understand this. It didn't matter the amount of cheese we used to desensitize him to the gates. He remained nervous about gates for the rest of his life because it happened at a time. It was a single event that happened at a key moment that really scared the bejeebers out of him. And Halloween night is rife with single event learning episodes for most dogs.
Yeah, and actually for a lot of children, too.
Absolutely.
I mean, like, if you think about Emma and the experience of reaching toward the scarecrow holding the tray, she probably never, while trick-or-treating, she probably never went toward a still form again without double-checking.
No.
Is that a person or is that a mannequin? You know, like, once you've had that, that was really scary moment, you remember negative experiences.
You really do. You really do. And especially when it comes at particular times, like you think about it, I talked to most people, I said, you know, most of the things that I think you can probably remember very specifically, either positive or negative, probably happened in adolescence when your hormones are surging and you're particularly ripe to learn these new experiences and your brain is in a particular way in which new experiences really take a hold. We can do the same thing for your dog, especially when they're younger and they're still developing. These single event learning things are much harder to overcome. Whereas if we have a whole wide experience with gates and one falls over when we're four, not nearly as traumatic.
And you've been around gates hundreds of times and one fell over. Whereas when you're a puppy and, you know, not that often and one fell over, then it's, oh, wow.
Right.
Yeah, it can be a real issue. And so I think for Halloween, so today we're sort of focusing on the actual night, Halloween night. How do we make Halloween night fun for your dog? And that depends on your dog, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
You know? So for some dogs, it's the issue of the doorbell going off hundreds of times. Like your door is a trigger for your dog. So can we avoid the doorbell completely? Sit outside, wrap yourself in a blanket, sit on your front porch and pass out candy so that your doorbell doesn't ring once.
Right.
And then the dog is not repeatedly going, someone's at the door, someone's at the door. Or does your dog need to have complete seclusion? Does your dog need to be in a bedroom with a Kong just having the night off with a little quiet music and spa treatment? Or
like Through a Dog's Ear Music, which is designed to calm your dog. We'll leave a link on the show notes to Through a Dog's Ear Music on Amazon. Something that would be, they have lots of different versions, and I have found it to be very effective to keep dogs calm.
Yeah, Through a Dog's Ear is nice, and I think most people like it too, which is nice, because there are some things that, you know, like a lot of kid music, kids love and parents don't love so much.
Yeah.
Through a Dog's Ear seems to be pretty palatable to most adults, which is quite nice. And that can be a very nice thing to sort of as a background noise to help your dog through that. Some dogs who do enjoy being with people and have had broad experiences may want to be mildly involved in some way. But you have to decide for your dog, is my dog enjoying this moment, tolerating this moment, or trying to end the moment?
Absolutely. Very good point.
it's a tough thing for a lot of people. It's amazing to me how often people don't really realize, unless a dog is actively avoiding, they don't see some of that ambivalence or, oh, I wish this wasn't happening, but I'm trying to put up with it moments. They're like, oh, he's fine.
Yeah, well, he is fine. He's just not
good. He's good, not good.
Right. So, fine is one thing. Good is a whole nother, you know, ball of wax.
So,
how would we help? What would be a couple of things you would suggest they look for that indicating that their dog is just tolerating this and probably needs some help?
Well, some of the stress signals that we like to point out pretty often are, lip licking is one of my favorites because it's such an obvious little signal with the dog is sort of sticking its tongue out and bringing it back in. We have a lot of mouth-related stress-relieving behaviors. I mean, if you think about it as humans, people bite their nails, people chew gum, people, chew on pencil erasers, people smoke cigarettes. Those are all sort of oral fixation, mouth-related behaviors. So the lip licking is a self-soothing behavior from a dog's perspective. Yawning can release tension in their jaw because they hold tension in their jaw lines just like we do. So lip licking and yawning are two easy mouth behaviors.
Panting.
Panting is a big one.
Drooling.
And panting is so easily missed. People are just like, oh, yeah, he's breathing heavy. Why? Let's start there. Why?
It's 62 degrees and he's panting heavily. There's a reason for it. And the other thing is another one would be drooling. People are, oh, he smells the candy. Well,
yeah,
maybe not. So, but just to be aware of anything that, what I like to tell people is look for a change in his breathing patterns.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Because he might be holding his breath too.
Right.
Which is,
freezing.
Is equally concerning, where if you just sort of go like, and we do that, you know, this moment where the intake of breath and then just hold it. I'm not sure what I need to think. So my body is all shutting down so I can process this information. So lack of breathing is as relevant as heavy breathing.
Right.
And then two other signals that I think people often miss that are pretty easily identifiable are the shake-off, the wet dog shake-off.
Yep.
Dogs shake off so often, they don't have baths as often as they shake, but we think of it as the wet dog shake-off. That's sort of a neurological reset. It's one of my favorites. I think of it as like restarting the computer.
Boop,
start over.
Reboot.
Yeah. And the reboot doesn't bring us back to ground zero, which is what we would like to believe, but it does help the dog kind of recalibrate. And we do it too. You know, like if you ever bite into a lemon and you just like, oh my goodness, and you shake your head and you, ugh, that was awful, too much. So there is some physiological need to shake it. We say it to athletes, shake it off, you're fine.
That's right, absolutely.
So the shake-off is a good one. And then the other one is, we call it, you'll hear it described as either half moon eye or whale eye. And for the most part, for most breeds, you don't see very much of the whites of a dog's eyes.
Correct.
So when you do see it, it can be relevant. It's sort of the dog's facial muscles are so tight that we're seeing these whites. And it can be just an early warning sign that your dog, I mean, if you look like your dog has just had doggy Botox, it's just like so tight that you're seeing these whites, then your dog's face probably really is tight enough that we're having some tension. So these would be signs that, oh, it's time for me to intervene. And your question to ask is, can I make this better or can I make it shorter? There's really only two things. If I can't make the situation better and bring my dog back into enjoyment, not just tolerating, but enjoying something, then I need to end it, maybe only briefly, but there needs to be a break. My dog needs to be away from this. So those are really important questions to think about on Halloween when we're busy saying, be a part of the activity, join in. A lot of times our dogs are going, okay, I'll try.
Yes, I think the dog is saying, yes, I really want to be with you, but boy, this situation is really overwhelming to me. So I think that the two questions you really have to ask yourself is, does your dog really, truly need to be there?
Mm-hmm.
Is this a situation that your dog really needs to enjoy or participate in? And the other thing is the next question to ask is, does he want to? And the stress signals are going to answer that question.
Put a link in the show notes about some of the stress signals too, so people can look that up.
Absolutely. And another one I was going to bring up was avoiding eye contact, which is when you might see those whale eyes. I said, I can't look at the trick-or-treaters. I can't look out the door. I can't look at you. I can't look at what's stressing me. is a real clear indication that I need a break. And so what you might do is find that the dog just needs a bit of a break. Take him inside. Take him out of his costume, for goodness sakes.
Yes.
Let him have a drink of water. Give him a snack. Give him some quiet time. And then allow him to decide if he wants to come back out with you. If he goes over and lays down on his bed, he's had enough. You know, he can always have access to you through the door. If he comes over to the door and wants to come out, then let him come out. If he goes to the door because he wants to go back in, let him inside. Oftentimes, giving the dog a choice of what he wants to do is going to help to reduce his stress. And he's going to tell you what he wants to do by the way in which he moves or doesn't move, as the case may be, in case he freezes.
Yes, but one little side note on that is some dogs will want to be with you, but not in the situation you're in.
Absolutely.
So your dog may say, I want to be with you, and that means I will be on the porch in a situation that I really, really, really don't like because I want to be with you. When in their hearts they're saying, I want to be with you in front of the TV, could we just pretend that there are no trick-or-treaters? So watch for that. So if your dog is making a choice that you think is not in your dog's own best interest. Then you get to, you know, play the role of the parent again and say, well, that's what you think you want, but what you need is a break. You need a break, and I do really want to see all these adorable trick-or-treaters, so I am going to stay out here. I'm sorry for you, but we're going to make it happy for you inside, but I will be out here, or whatever.
That's right, because some people think, well, the dogs don't live in either-or worlds. They can have conflicting emotions as well. So your dog actually may be sending you conflicting signals. He may be lip-licking and panting and shaking off and have half-moon eyes, but just really want to be next to you. So now I'm leaning in really close and tight to you, anyway, asking for protection. So dogs can give conflicting signals. So it's really up to you to decide which one is really overriding. You know, if we're just seeing a little bit of lip licking and generally his body's nice and loose and he's relaxed on the porch and watching everything, he's probably okay. Mm-hmm. But if he starts to tense, he starts lip licking more seriously, he's not looking at things, he's moving away as kids move forward, he's clearly indicating that I need a break.
Right. And so this is not just a Halloween issue. I mean, this applies in so many areas. Lots of times I'll have people say to me, you know, I want my dog to be happy during my kid's birthday party. We're having 7-8-year-olds come over and, you know, I just think the dog should be loose. It's her house, so she should be a part of it. And I think nobody wants to be around 7-8-year-olds. So, that's not true. 7-8-year-olds, it's delightful. Don't be thinking I don't like 8-year-olds. But realistically, that's a stressful event, right?
Yes.
It's a stressful event for the parents supervising that party. And for a dog, if we can make it the lovely gift of that you are invited to have some downtime alone, happy in a room, that is a gift. It is a gift. But dogs will sometimes say, I want to be near the mom or I want to be near the dad. Even if the price is, I'm being put in a situation that I don't want to be in.
Right.
So think about this if you're having a holiday party or if you're having guests over or Thanksgiving or Christmas, does your dog really truly need to be included in the activities and for how long? I mean, lots of dogs would like to be apart and then like to be elsewhere and then like to be apart and then like to be elsewhere. That's great. That's great.
Absolutely. And, you know, and there's different ways to introduce your dog to things. I found this out quite by accident. I was having an in-home show, and usually people would come and I'd have my dogs greet everybody, and then I'd go put them in their crates. And then they'd, after a while, they'd go, we want to come back out.
Mm-hmm.
But one time, I couldn't be there for the beginning of the show, so I had a couple of friends come in and run the show. And I came back from dog class, happened to have brought my dogs to class with me because I didn't want them to be interfering with the setup of this particular in-house show. And we came in and everybody was in the living room and settled. The dogs went in, went around, greeted everybody. I took them upstairs to their crates and boom, they were quiet the entire time. So what I learned was what was easier for them was not to go through the excitement of greeting everybody at the door,
right.
But instead, have them outside in the back. Everybody comes in and sits down. They come in, greet everybody. When it's calm, they stay calmer and are more likely to go, well, this is kind of boring. It's just a bunch of women drinking wine. Why in the world would I want to be here? Go upstairs and lay down. So you can also be creative in how you introduce the dog. And if you introduce them at a time when everybody's calm, they're more likely to be calm and then be able to be redirected to a better activity.
Absolutely. although I don't think Halloween and calm.
So,
this works for your other events, but Halloween, pretty much not calm. And it's deliberately odd. And so for Halloween, for a lot of dogs, truly, they just really shouldn't be a part of it for many, many dogs.
Right. And the other thing is to remember is that this is not something that goes on all the time that your dog should have to become accustomed to, because this is going to happen every Friday night, you know, from, September through December. No, this is one night of the year. Does he really need to become accustomed to it? Maybe not.
Yeah. And it's a little hard to train for then, too.
Because
we can't set up, we're going to have the 5 weeks of practice Halloween before the real Halloween. It's a very difficult thing. So really, looking for what are the easy strategies to make your dog happy, safe, and comfortable for the night so that your family can really enjoy your family's activities. And then we go back to real life. And that's the real goal. We want our dogs happy in our real life. And they don't need to be a part of every crazy human activity that we do. We can enjoy those for our own, we know Halloween is silly and crazy, but we sign up knowing that. The dogs don't know why all the rules change that night. That's very confusing.
And the other thing is you can also get an idea about how well you think he's going to handle Halloween by how well did he handle the birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
If he didn't handle the birthday party particularly well, then don't even try to have him handle Halloween.
Right.
You can learn from, you too can learn from past experiences. And it can be a single event learning for you. Like, oh my goodness, that birthday party really didn't go the way I wanted it to. I really wish I would have put him away. Don't think that Halloween is going to be any easier. In fact, it's going to be a lot harder. So if you learn that lesson with the birthday party, then don't even go there with Halloween.
Right.
So
I think that pretty much covers what to do on Halloween night. What do you think?
I think so, too. So, are we ready for our question?
We are ready for our question. If you have a question, we would love to hear your question, too. You can reach us at our website, yourfamilydogpodcast.com, or you can call and leave us a message at 614-349-1661. So, let's listen to this week's question.
Hi, my name is Wendy. My problem is I have two dogs that don't get along, and I'm looking for suggestions. I have an old dog, about 15, who's very easygoing, but as she's gotten older, has lost patience with younger dogs. She is just a little crabby and doesn't want to be fun. I have a younger dog who's very possessive of the people in her life, and that's where things flare up. When there's activity close around the people, we are successful when we walk on leashes together with the two dogs outside. There's never a problem. They're happy to walk along together when they're outside and not have any issues. We mostly don't have issues in the yard either. Most of our issues happen in close quarters, and in particular when the people are in the way. I'd like to have suggestions on how to build a little bit more rapport between an old crabby dog and a young possessive dog. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, Colleen. We had a question from Wendy, and it was about two dogs with space issues with each other, but especially around people. And I think there were a couple of keynotes. One was a very young dog, and one was an old dog at 15. So, once again, space issues. Similar to Halloween, what are we going to do to help these two dogs get along?
Well, it is sort of similar to Halloween in that earlier I said about how a dog might choose to be near a person even though they don't like the rest of the situation. So each of these dogs might be choosing to be near Wendy when they would each prefer not to be near the other. Or actually, in this case, the older dog might prefer not to be near the younger dog. Older dogs frequently need more breaks than younger dogs.
Absolutely.
So some of the things I would say that we should be looking at are there good escape routes? Is there an easy avenue to get away? And I always like to have two because
I do too.
When you have just one, the other dog's in the way. So the escape route is gone. So at least two escape routes in these various close corners areas. And then really look at, are we reinforcing quiet and calm interactions and encouraging the dogs to have these really positive, quiet, calm interactions near the people? Or are we looking at a lot of arousal of like, ooh, activity, activity around the people? Arousal and crankiness can go together. So we don't want the dogs to be too revved up.
Right. The other thing I think we can do is teach our dogs to be happy on their own.
So yes.
that if you are in a situation, for example, that you want to watch TV and there's room on the couch for you and your husband and one dog, make sure you have a comfortable bed or two, dog bed, and that whoever is choosing to be on the dog bed gets a nice tasty Kong. And then the other dog gets to be on the couch with the people, maybe without food. So there's a motivation for being on the couch or being on the bed, so that your dog learns that it's okay for me to be on my own. I'm comfortable on this bed. I can stretch out. I get a tasty treat. I'm still in the room with my people. So yep. It gives the dog an alternative. So it's important that the dogs understand that they can be happy on their own. And then if you want to, you can actually rotate dogs back and forth. You can invite one on the couch, put the other mm-hmm. one on the bed, so they
yes.
each get equal time. And making sure you have comfortable places for the dogs to be if they're not going to be on the couch with you.
Right. And I think comfortable places is a real important thing to think about, because dogs typically do choose the most comfortable spot. But if we have comfortable spots in a variety of areas, like right here in my office, I have beds under my desk and then a bed behind me. And right now, the cat is on the dog bed behind me. There are lots of places in this house that are comfortable for that cat. But isn't it lovely that he's choosing to be near, but right. not right underfoot? And so that's a great spot for either the dog or the cat or whoever wants to be there. It's a nice close by, but not right up in the space spot. So having comfy, cozy places, it makes them attractive to the animals. Another thing to think about is if you don't want to get into a lot of training, you can easily use gates and crates and any sorts of management methods to say, okay, this is your time to be over here. Put a dog, you know, behind a door or in a bedroom or you know, bind a baby gate. That's a real simple thing. It doesn't require training. You could absolutely train a dog to go and lie on a bed. And a good trainer can help you with that if you have any questions.
I was going to say that reminds me of when we introduced Tex, our grand dog, to our other two dogs. And Tex, for whatever reason, we had a very long and involved process of introducing him to the other dogs. And one night we wanted to settle down as a family and watch a movie. And Tex was obsessed with licking my dog's ears, Bingley's ears. Bingley would just put up with it for just so long. It's kind of like, you know, really seriously, enough.
Right.
But we all wanted to be in the same room. So we took the baby gate and we actually used the baby gate in the room itself. We propped it up against a filing cabinet and a chair. And Bingley was on one side with a bed and Tex and Buckley were on the other side. They mm-hmm. each had a bed and they could interact through the gate. But Bingley didn't have to have his ears cleaned all night.
Right.
And they got a lot more used to being with one another, but providing Bingley with a little bit of a break from this younger dog. And doing that strategically really helped them to become good friends, so that after a while we could get rid of the gates and they learned to mm-hmm. be comfortable with one another. I think the other thing to bring up is the fact that at 15, you probably
yes.
have a right to be a bit cranky.
Yeah. And to have a few special privileges. Just
absolutely.
Sort of, by 15, you have earned the crown. And sometimes we could just make life go the way that makes you happy, because that's okay. So I have no problem with giving older dogs a few extra comforts, a few extra rewards, a few extra everything, because they've earned it. It's okay. And just like you said about Bingley needing a little time to, you know, be around Tex without having Tex in his ears, that's what might be happening here too, is this older dog doesn't mind being around the younger dog per se, just doesn't really want all the fuss and bother. And sometimes the achiness of a
right.
younger dog bumping up against, you know, then my joints hurt, leave me alone. But you can be with me, just don't be on me, that
right.
kind of thing.
Which is the other point that I wanted to make too, which is about the arthritis, is that older dogs may be in more discomfort or pain and they may not be letting us know. So
yeah.
if with the introduction of a younger dog, your dog suddenly gets crankier, it might be more than just behavior. It could
yes.
be I'm physically in pain. So make sure you have your dog checked out by your vet and get appropriate pain medication in order for this dog to be more comfortable in his world. And then he probably would find he's a lot more tolerant of the younger dog, because it doesn't hurt to have you
right.
around.
And dogs can be very stoic with pain. Absolutely. So that is a risk that sometimes we will let a dog be in pain longer than we would ever intend because we just didn't realize. They don't demonstrate it the same ways we do sometimes.
Absolutely. Well, Colleen, I think that wraps up our Halloween episode.
It does. So we hope everyone has a very happy Halloween and do enjoy it and make it as enjoyable for your dog as possible, even if that means they don't know that it's Halloween.
Great point. Okay, thanks, Colleen. We'll see you next time.
See you next time.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Your Family Dog. Got questions? Interesting ideas? Colleen and Julie would love to hear them. Call 614-349-1661. Or visit www.yourfamilydogpodcast.com to share your thoughts. Thanks for listening to Your Family Dog. Got questions? Interesting ideas? Colleen and Julie would love to hear them. Call 614-349-1661 or visit www.yourfamilydogpodcast.com to share your thoughts.